Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Welcome to home for the holidays, or for Christmas. The word home in and of itself elicits emotion, right? I mean, you think about what an active word it is in our vocabulary. We very much love our homeland, right? We love our hometown, and of course, all of us have our homies, all right? We want homegrown vegetables and homemade food delivered to us home style, right? Home is an important part of it. We get homesick, and we want to go home. And then we get sick, and we have to stay home, right? I mean, all of those dynamics, it's just always a part of our vocabulary. The worst place to be is homeless. And of course, everybody wants to be a homeowner. But if you're a homeowner, here's the thing, you're going to have home improvements to make, which is a really good marriage lesson, by the way, as we think about that. And then, of course, there's homework, which we have to do. We have known for a long time that some of the toughest people in our history were homesteaders, right? But we've added another group to that now, homeschoolers, right, as part of what we're learning in 2020. George Carlin, years ago, said that he thought that from a sports standpoint that baseball was the most family-friendly sport. He said, because in basketball, you want to make a basket. Okay, that's fine. In soccer, you want to kick a goal. In football, you want to get a touchdown and get into the ominous end zone. And then he says, but with baseball, you just want to go home safely. And the greatest thing you can do is hit a home run. And we all root for the home team. Home is critical to so much of who we are and what we do. And this series is about home for the holidays. There are a couple of emotions that can come when that word home is mentioned. And one of them is very, very positive. And it's when things work well, right? And things don't always work well, but when they do, it's a beautiful thing. Last time I spoke to you, about 3 weeks ago, we had just married our daughter off. Miss Natalie Wangler became Mrs. John Groth, and I talked a little bit about that. And I made up my mind I was not going to show any pictures, and I wasn't going to talk about it anymore, but maybe just this one time, I want to say something about this. And these are a couple pictures that my daughter sent me right after the wedding. They got married in a place called Industry about a block from Lucas Field, and they took an old bearing factory, did very little to it, and charged a lot of money for people to come in there and do stuff. But she sent me these pictures. This is me and her dancing. Those are my moves right there on the dance floor. That's it. And then there was this one, which is my favorite picture. And you say, you know, Pastor, so your favorite picture from your daughter's wedding is the back of her head and your ugly face. Yes, because in those moments while we were dancing, I was taking another trip in my mind. I was going back to that little house in Fithy in Illinois where we brought her home in an ice storm, and I would have danced with her for the first time to get her to go to sleep. I was thinking about Elgin, where we went just a couple of years later, where she learned to run and irritate her brothers and climb. And then, of course, I went to 1316 Ottawa Avenue and remembered all of those footsteps where the house where she grew up. And part of my journey that day, just in my mind, the film was playing, was even 12745 Bell Road, where she had gone to college. And I remember going into the parking lot the day, and you've heard me tell this story, when she was moving away, this was going to be, I mean, she was going. And her address for the first time in her life was going to be different than mine. And I walked her to the car, and we have this moment. And she says, Dad, because she knows what a sap I am. And she said, it's okay. And she gets in the car, and I watch her leave. And I turn to go home, or back into the house, and I realized, man, this is it. I mean, she's out there. I mean, we're at a point now where I hope I didn't do this too bad. I mean, a little counseling's good for everybody, right? We made a lot of mistakes, but Lindy was a great mom, and I stuck around and showed up, and hopefully it will be okay. And then I came to this conclusion, and this was a win. The win was I realized she knew who she was. She knew whose she was, and she was still talking to me. That's good. That's a win. If we can get there. Now, the thing is, I would like to tell you that when she was 8 or 9 or when my kids were small, I come up with the idea of trying to win as a parent, and that win would look like them knowing who they are and whose they are and them still talking. I didn't. I figured all this out after the fact, and you don't have to. My friend Jay Height says that part of the problem with some of the stuff that we lead, including family, is that we go ready, fire, aim. It's not supposed to be in that order. Ready, fire, aim. And so from a standpoint, especially those of you who have young children or grandchildren, don't do that. Tracer bullets can be effective, but it's a terrible way to raise a family. Be intentional. In that parking lot that day, the concept of helping parents win was born into my heart and into my mind. And so a few months ago, when we were thinking about Christmas and we were thinking about what God wanted to do, and I ran across this passage of scripture from Luke chapter 1, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. This incredible thing is about to happen. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. And from the very beginning, this message this morning was kind of what called it all together, because if the light of heaven is going to shine, if there's going to be a new birth, if there's going to be something extraordinary happen that's going to cause the tale to be told for generations, I want it to be in our home. The light of heaven began to shine. What if that happened this Christmas? What if there was a twist? If there was something unexpected that came? The greatest place of joy is in our home. Now, when we talk about helping parents, I want to say a couple things. First of all, I want to say that this is critical. This issue of family is critical, even if biologically you're not a parent, or maybe your family's not close. This is critically important to our culture and to our time. Because here's the thing: the things that we have seen happen, even in this last year, from riots to racism to the opioid epidemic to the number of suicides to all of those things, has its roots in the breakdown of our families. There is no doubt in my mind. Culturally, historically, look at it. So regardless of whether you feel like this impacts you, it does on a much broader level. Secondly, this issue of helping parents win by the light of heaven shining in is not just for those families that are like perfect little families, because there aren't any. This is regardless of the mistakes that are made. This is taking into account that there's been some major issues along the way. And the family, or the kids that we raised, they didn't grow up in a perfect family, and they're saying amen somewhere. They don't even know it, but because we just had, we went through stuff. That beautiful young lady that you just saw, the story she always tells is a story about when she was 5 or 6 and her older brothers were tormenting her at the dinner table, and her response was she was going to kill them. I thought that was an overreaction. And so I sent her to her room. I said, Natalie, you just go. And she went 5, 6 years. She was just an adorable little girl going up the steps. Daddy, I'm hungry. Too bad. You should have thought about that before. She goes into the room. I go back down, and we're trying to eat, and we can hear her just moaning and crying upstairs. And so I walked up the stairs, looked into that beautiful little face, and said, please cry quietly. We're trying to enjoy our dinner. She will tell you that story. Now, that's a cute little moment, but there were a lot of others that aren't so cute. This is in spite of what's happened. Do not let the enemy write the ending to your story. Then, this is also, regardless of how old your kids are, some of the greatest moves of God I've seen in ministry are things that happen between parents and kids when the kids are full grown and there's been a breakdown at some point in time. Don't give up on that. You serve a God of the impossible, and the light of heaven can change everything. And then I also want to say this issue of healing and home needs to happen even if the marriage hasn't. Where there has been a divorce, where a divorce may end a marriage, but it can't end parenting. And I have seen God's grace poured on couples in situations where you would have thought that they wouldn't be able to work together, but we can't afford that, ladies and gentlemen. We need parents to win, and that includes everyone. So hang with me. There's healing in the light of heaven. And it's important for it to happen because one of the emotions that we have when we hear home is a good one and a fond one. It is also the place of great danger. Often home is potentially the scene of the attack. Something that has happened that has infected a six-year-old and seeds that have been planted in the heart of a six-year-old that at 16 are going to grow poisonous fruit. It is often the place where our biggest hurts come. It is the place where the enemy is designed to steal your destiny. There's an assassin for your family tree. There is someone who would like to poison that, because once poisoned, it can go generation after generation. There is a very real evil that is out to destroy, and we don't talk about that as much as we should, but the reality is that there's an enemy of your soul. There's one who wants to destroy your life, the lives of your children. Jesus talked about that in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We must have healing at home. When you think about it, it's always been a point of Scripture. These are the last words of the Old Testament. These are the last words that God's going to give, and then we're going to have 400 years or so of silence. And here's what he says. I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents. Notice that there is a move on family. And then when you go into the New Testament in Luke chapter 1, as the angel is speaking to Zechariah, he's telling him about John the Baptist who's going to come, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It's right there. He's picking that theme right back up. Critically important. And here's the thing. This is to make ready a people. Pastor Bob often reminds us, especially as we think about Easter, that we always want to rush to Easter Sunday, and we don't really want to do what needs to be done during Lent, because Lent is a time when we're surrendering. Lent is a time when we're examining ourselves, but we want to just rush to the holiday and miss the holy day. The same thing is true of Christmas. Oh, we want Christ to come, but are we ready? Are our hearts ready? We get the house ready, we get everything else ready, but are our hearts ready? We want the miracle of Christmas without the season of Advent. And so there's preparation. I believe it starts with family. Going back to that Malachi passage, I didn't finish reading it. The last words are a sober reminder to people that there are consequences to not getting this right. Or else, he says, I will come and strike the land with total destruction. There is an or else to this issue of family. And when I talk about family, again, I'm not talking about it just so we can have warm fuzzies. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about our country. I'm talking about our communities. I'm talking about the children that you love so much. There are consequences of a family's spiritual priorities, decisions, and focus that impact the next generation in ways we need to understand. There is an or else. We as parents, we naturally, and we should, invest heavily to help prepare our kids intellectually and academically. And we will prioritize time, and we see it here with all of the coaching that goes on here, so that athletically that our kids are learning and they're growing, and emotionally we want them to have what they need. But what about spiritually? And there is a wasteland of hearts and souls because of the second or third generation now that have come up, whose families were focused on the academics, they were focused on the athletics, and they were focused on emotional kind of things, but the spiritual teaching never happened. We need the light of heaven to shine in our families, bring healing and hope. And here's the thing. We need the light, and it can. Here's what, regardless of the situation or circumstance, I know that it may not happen overnight, and I know that one person can't fix a whole bunch of other people. I get that, but hope can begin to shine through one person, but truth can begin to shine through one person, but one person can say, hey, I don't think I want to play this game anymore. I want something to happen, and that can make a big difference. And there is no family, no situation beyond God's ability to move. Consider the home of Isaac and Rebekah from Scripture. This story comes from about Genesis 12 through Genesis 35. And it's a story of a family. And if you think your family was dysfunctional, oh my goodness. I mean, we have Isaac and Rebekah who had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And then there was another woman and there was another son. And that blending didn't end up working real well. Dysfunction, yeah. Isaac was once almost killed by his father, sacrificed on an altar. Yeah, true. Now we view that, we understand the spiritual picture around that, but Isaac lived that. And going all the way back to Grandpa, the family didn't blend well. There were tough marriages, and there's stories behind that. These were far from perfection. And Dad favored Esau, and Mom favored Jacob. Mom and Jacob cheated Esau out of his inheritance, and Esau decides to kill his brother. Oh, beautiful. Remember what happened when the enemy attacked Adam and Eve? Remember what happened to their two sons? You see that because that's the scene of the attack. So Jacob ran away. Jacob was a deceiver. Max Lucado calls him the riverboat gambler of the Old Testament. He was slimy. Esau rebelled. He was angry and he didn't run away. He stayed with mom and dad, but he made up his mind he was going to make their life miserable. Any of this sound familiar? Then Jacob has to go home for the holidays. Okay, it's not holidays. He didn't go home for the holidays. But he had to go home. He had burned enough bridges out here that the only safe thing for him to do was to go back home, and 20 years had passed. The problem was his brother was there. His brother had said he was going to kill him. So here's what Jacob did. He began to scheme. He began to send gifts. He began to try and manipulate because that he was a deceiver. That was his very name. And then he heard, hey, your brother Esau got your gifts. He's assembled 400 men, and he's coming to greet you. Well, Jacob thinks that can't be good, and so he tries to do damage control, and he goes on the river. Jabbok was a river, and he wrestled with God all night long on the eve of meeting his brother again in the Jabbok. And at the end of the day, God blessed him. And something had begun to change, or had changed in Jacob. Now, he scattered his family the night before because if Esau does an attack in the middle of the night, I don't want to lose everybody. And he put himself in a position where I've done all I can do. The sun comes up the next morning and this happens. Then Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and his two servant wives. He put the servant wives and their children at the front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then Jacob went on ahead. As he approached his brother, he bowed to the ground seven times before him. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they both wept. Wait, what? What just happened? The scripture, the story, when you read the Bible, you'll follow Jacob, because Jacob, through that lineage, some things are going to happen. But we haven't talked to Esau in a while. Esau, I just hadn't ever thought about this. And when I read this months ago, I said, that's what needs to happen in families. There needs to be this moment when the light of heaven shines and suddenly it's going to be tough and we may not have it all figured out, but something has been let go of and something has been clung to. What happened with Esau? They came back together. And the next, in Scripture, it's beautiful because Esau, when they get done hugging and weeping, that COVID wasn't a thing then, people could hug and touch. I don't know why I said that. But they did. And when that was over, Jacob goes, man, what's with all this stuff that you've been sending me? And he's like, well, they're just gifts. He goes, man, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. And he says, who are all these people? He said, all the people that are with me, these are our family. And they came together, and just a few chapters later, you have this moment that nobody would have thought was possible. Nobody. Isaac lived 180 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years, and his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. They were together. May the light of heaven bring healing to our homes this Christmas. Generation after generation, it does not need to be repeated. And at some point in time, somebody's got to step in and go, I'm just not going to hate anymore. I just need God to help and to move. There's a picture on social media that really captured my attention the last few weeks. It was a picture of a tree that had been cut down, and you see the rings in there, and you know that each of those rings represents a year or so in the life of a tree. And they say that where that dark ring is, something happened. It could have been an infestation of some kind of an insect. It could have been a drought. It could have got hit by lightning. There's just but something happened. And for a few years, it wasn't doing very well. But God didn't give up on the tree. He sent back his sunshine and the rain, and the tree didn't quit, and it grew past it. And what is true of a life, because our lives can be like this, what is true of a life can be true of a family tree that says, yeah, that happened, but we are moving on and going forward. May the light of heaven so dawn in our homes this year that those of you with small children will create things and help talk to your kids and begin to, so that when they, as they go through life, they will know the power of family and the joy of it. If your kids are raised, may God give you a creative approach to reaching out to them, to continuing to love them. And if your parents are getting older, all, you know, aunts and uncles and all of those things are involved. But we can go forward. So I have a prayer challenge for you this week. The prayer is simple. Dear God, please shine the light of heaven in my heart to reveal and cleanse me. That's where we start. Not with others, not with what's broken, but inside of us what might be broken. So I need to ask, Lord, who do I need to forgive? And what's that forgiveness look like? One of the things I always caution is that if you choose to forgive somebody who hasn't asked forgiveness, which I think is a great thing, and there's limitations there, but nevertheless, if you choose to forgive somebody who doesn't necessarily think they wronged you and they really don't like you, please don't send them a letter going, hey, I want you to know I forgive you, because that's how it's going to be read. That doesn't mean that you can't begin to let go. Who do I need to ask forgiveness of? What part of that ring do I own? And if you can't find anything, then maybe you can't. But before you just go there, ask somebody else who may have been part of that. What part of it can I own? What do I need to put behind? Esau put an awful lot of stuff behind without recompense. And then where do I need to stand? Because here's the thing. Abuse, and there are things that happen in families that there needs to be boundaries. There's health issues. I mean, there are things in there that, in physical and emotional and spiritual, there's places that we don't want to be enablers. And that's a tough place to know. But here's the challenge, because these family issues are often pretty complex. We should not be enablers. We don't want to do that. Neither should we be judges. Just family. This family. Dear God, please shine the light of heaven in my heart. Before you do anything else or go anywhere else, shine the light of heaven in my heart to reveal and cleanse me. And then, secondly, dear God, please shine the light of heaven through me to reveal your love to my family this Christmas, biological or otherwise. You may not have biological family, but you've got people who are like family. We are a church family. Family is a component that's much bigger than just biology. It's got to do with who our Father is. The one who sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross so that we might experience the healing light from heaven. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that's going to change. That's the only thing that's going to make lasting change. That's the only thing that's going to help us to turn situations and circumstances around. And I don't want to get past this Christmas. And we got less than 2 weeks. But I don't want to miss what God may want to say or do as we take Christmas home. Let's pray together. And then I want you to reflect. Begin to ask those questions as we close. Lord, I thank you for your grace all through Scripture, woven into family stories. And you didn't hide anything from us. The stories that we read in Scripture are difficult and tough. But would you help us to take resolve home for Christmas the way Joseph did? Would you help us to commit to obedience as we live lives together as family the way Mary did? Would you guide us? Would you give us the courage to go on the journey that the Magi made so that we might bring home the story and the light of heaven might shine? Would you help us to get off of the treadmill of life, leave the sheep on the hillside, and this Christmas season find you and discover that the story is true, the message is real, the child has been born. So as we reflect, speak into our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.